Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
Are you ready to talk about some gridiron legends in this discussion? Well, we're going to talk about football by numbers, the greatest players to wear the number 13 in NFL history, and we're going to pick a top 10. It's all coming up in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Aaron Hayes, and we're podcasting from the Pigpen in Western Pennsylvania to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and this is your special bonus edition podcast for March 7th, as we're going to talk about the greatest players in the NFL to wear the number 13. This is going to be a solo broadcast today, so you're just going to hear my voice. It's going to be my opinion of who our top number 13s are, and we've got some great players to talk about. Let's start off by looking, as we always do, who the Pro Football Hall of Fame says that are players that are enshrined in their great museum that wore the number 13. We're going to start off the top of the list. You know, Dan Marino wore the number 13 from 1983 to 1999. Don Maynard wore the number from 1958 to 1973, 15 seasons for him. Kurt Warner did wear this number 13 from 1999 to 2009, 10 seasons. Joe Staudebaer wore it for 10 seasons, 1936 to 1946. We're going to learn more about all these guys in just a second. George Trafton wore it for 12 years, 1920 to 1932. Guy Chamberlain, 1923 to 1927, 4 seasons for him. And the final Hall of Famer that wore the number 13 is Wilbur Henry, who wore it for 1 season in 1930. Now, let's go a little bit more in depth on these great players. We'll start off for some of the ones from yesteryear, and we'll start off with Guy Chamberlain, who, after serving World War I, he played pro football for 8 years. He was a Bears legend. George Halas called him the greatest two-way end in the history of the game. Pretty big words from a pretty big NFL personality, George Halas. He was not only a good player, but he was a great early coach in the NFL, according to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. In his 6 coaching seasons, 5 of which were spent as a player coach, Chamberlain also won 4 NFL championships for the Canton Bulldogs in 1922, 1923, the Cleveland Bulldogs in 1924, and the Frankfurt Yellow Jackets in 1926. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined Guy Chamberlain in 1965, and he wore that number 13 so well. Next one we talked about, Pete Henry. He was signed to play with the Canton Bulldogs, coincidentally on the same day as the NFL's precursor, the American Professional Football Association, was formed in Ralph Hayes Hupmobile Showroom in Canton, Ohio. The good-natured Henry off the field was replaced by a focused beast on the gridiron. Pete's most notable season had to be in 1923 when the Bulldogs, according to the National Football Foundation's website, Henry booted a 94-yard punt and blocked the punt and scored a touchdown and kicked 9 field goals via dropkick. And oh, by the way, the Canton Bulldogs won their 2nd consecutive NFL championship that year, due in part for his great play. In the NFL for a total of 8 seasons, not only with Canton, but as a member of the Pottsville Maroons and the New York Giants too, Pete Henry was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1951. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined him in 1963's class of inductees. Then we get to one that's a little bit more in our memory banks, Dan Marino. Dan played for the Miami Dolphins as he was picked as a 27th overall pick in the 1983 draft. Can you imagine that? 26 players were picked before Dan Marino. Boy, I bet there's a lot of teams in the NFL that wish they could have their pick back in that year. The 5 other quarterbacks were chosen ahead of him, including Ken O'Brien, Tony Eason, Jim Kelly, Tom Blackledge, and John Elway. Boy, that'd be a tough one between him and Elway, but the rest of them, maybe Kelly's in there, but I still think Marino and Elway are miles above the rest of them. Dan played with Miami for 17 seasons and rewrote not only the Dolphins' passing record books, but most of the NFL passing records too. He played in only one Super Bowl, which was in his second season, where the Dolphins fell to the 49ers after Dan passed for over 300 yards in that game. It wasn't his fault that they lost. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined this prolific passer in 2005, and he entered into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2003. Now, Marino, you know, we have some great statistics from the Pro Football Reference website. And Dan, as a starter, his quarterback record was 147-93. Pretty good record. He threw for over 61,361 yards, had 420 touchdowns, only 252 interceptions. So, you know, a little bit worse than a 2-to-1 ratio, but, you know, just a phenomenal passer. Completed 59.4% of his passes with 7.3 yard average on each pass. So, you know, great number 13, and that's why he is one of our first seven on our list, for along with Pete Henry and Mr. Guy Chamberlain, to our list of top 10 number 13s to play football in the NFL. Next on our list, let's talk about Hall of Famer Don Maynard. Don was a sort of an end, a flanker back, halfback, that had a great career, came in with the league with the New York Giants, played with the New York Titans, who eventually turned into New York Jets in the AFL, and continued on the AFL into the NFL with the Jets, and then played for the St. Louis Cardinals in his final season in 1973. All in all, he had 15 seasons in the league, and he was just quite the performer here. He had over 11,800 yards of receiving, with 88 touchdown catches, and his longest was 87 yards as a touchdown. And he was just brilliant, one of Joe Namath's favorite targets, Super Bowl III. I mean, who can forget that, with Maynard's performance that whole year in the AFL for the Jets and in the Super Bowl III, defeating the Baltimore Colts in that Super Bowl III victory. Just a brilliant career for Don Maynard, and that's why he's got in the Hall of Fame. Wore that number 13 for 15 seasons, as we said. So great to see him on that list. Another performer who's a quarterback that played in a more of a modern era, and we've talked about him before, is Kurt Warner. And Kurt Warner came on, played, you know, some over in NFL Europe and played, you know, in the arena leagues, and then really got it picked up by the St. Louis Rams and Dick Vermeil, and just revived his whole career in 1998. 27 years old when he came in the NFL, and just was lights out for a few of his seasons in the NFL. St. Louis Rams, one season with the New York Giants, and then six with the Arizona Cardinals. Five with the Arizona Cardinals. And just a great performer. Threw for over 32,300 career yards, you know, 128 interceptions, 208 touchdowns. Played in the Super Bowl with the Cardinals, lost to the Steelers in that one. But he also played with the St. Louis Rams, the greatest show on turf. They won a Super Bowl and lost a Super Bowl, and were just the most prolific offense of the late 90s, early 2000s. Playing in that dome, it was just a tremendous, tremendous player. Kurt Warner in the Hall of Fame and on our list of the best number 13s to ever play the game. Now, here's one that maybe we don't know too much about, and that's Joe Steinbar. Now, Joe was born on March 17th, 1912. We're going to be talking about his birthday in just about a week and a half. He was born in Kaler, Pennsylvania, and was the very first pick of the Chicago Bears and the first ever NFL draft in 1936. So he was, the very first Bears draft pick, you know, first draft ever, and the Chicago Bears picked him. The two-way player at tackle was selected to all NFL teams in five straight seasons from 1936 to 1940, and played on three championship teams with the Bears. Early in his career, he often played without a helmet. That was sort of his claim to fame. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined Joe Steinhardt in 1967, and like we said, he had a brilliant career. Five playoff games he had all in all, and was, like I said, just lights out, two-way player. I mean, what more can you say about that? And played on those tough Chicago Bears teams. Didn't have a lot of stats for offensive and defensive linemen back in that era, but Joe Steinhardt is definitely on our list of top number 13s to play the game, and he's definitely in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Now, let's talk a little bit about George Trafton. George was born on December 6, 1896 in Chicago, and he was a longtime center for the Chicago Bears. So he's our hometown boy. Trafton, according to the Pro Football Hall of Fame's biography sketch on him, played only one season of college ball at Notre Dame before jumping right to the pro ranks with even George Halas and the Bears. In fact, he was the franchise's first center because he actually started off his NFL career as a Staley, as a Decatur Staley. Trafton indicated in those early days rosters were so small, teams, that he expected them to play a full 60 minutes. So Mr. Trafton set a couple of NFL trends as he was the first offensive center to snap the ball using only one hand, and on the other side of the ball, where he was a defensive lineman, to move around the field in a rover-like manner. He spent 12 seasons in the league, and the Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined George Trafton in 1964. And like we said, we don't have a whole lot of information about those early linemen in the NFL. There wasn't real good stats on them, just those stories like we just shared with you. So it's hard to say what they really did. So there is our first seven names, those Hall of Famers, and we'll review them again. Dan Marino, Don Maynard, Kurt Warner, Joe Staudihar, George Trafton, Guy Chamberlain, and Wilbur Henry. So, or Pete Henry, as he's better known. So there's our first seven spots are all tied up. And so we need to pick three more. So let's go through some names of some players that maybe we can consider. You know, some current players. We have T.Y. Hilton is in there. Mike Evans is in there. Keenan Allen. Michael Thomas were the number 13. Frank Ryan. Odell Beckham Jr. Dave Jennings, and some for the past, Jay Schrader, Steve Johnson, Steve Bono, Kendall Wright, Chris Jackie, Mike Vanderjagt, Kelvin Benjamin. Those are some, Nate Burleson also wore the number 13. Just some great names that we need to pick three of those. So maybe we better dig just a little bit deeper into some of these names because we got to pick three of these fellas. So let's take a look at T.Y. Hilton, wearing number 13. He's wore the number 13 his entire career, and he's played with only one team so far, the Indianapolis Colts. So far for his career, he has 50 touchdowns to his credit. 87 yards is his longest one that he's had. And that, so far in that career, 608 receptions, 9,360 yards for a 15.4 average with those 50 touchdowns. So that's a pretty decent career. Made it to four Pro Bowls, too. That's another good selling point for T.Y. Hilton. So he is definitely on our watch list for one of those three spots. Now, we also said Mike Evans is on there. And Mike Evans, currently played with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers of late, the world champions. That's his one world championship, was just this past year in 2021 Super Bowl. And he's been on the Pro Bowl three times. He has 532 receptions, 8,266 yards, and 61 touchdowns. So he even has a little bit better number so far than T.Y. Hilton. And he's got a Super Bowl ring, three Pro Bowls, one less Pro Bowl than T.Y. Hilton. But I still say he is a very, very strong contender to be on our list of our top number 13s. Remember, we got to find three spots to fill with these names we're bringing up here because we're putting those seven Hall of Famers in already. Let's take a look at a couple more of these wide receivers. Keenan Allen is on that list. What a competitor Keenan Allen is. He played his first four seasons with the San Diego Chargers, and lately he's been with the L.A. Chargers. It's so hard to say that. So four seasons in each city there in Southern Cal. All of them with the Chargers. And so far in his career, he has caught 624 balls for 7,397 yards, 42 touchdowns, 11.9 average. So he's right in that mix, too, just a little bit behind T.Y. Hilton in the numbers, but still under consideration here. And, a couple more of those receivers that we're talking, they're currently playing, wearing a number 13. And Michael Thomas comes on that list also. He's had five seasons with the New Orleans Saints, all of them with Drew Brees as his quarterback. 510 receptions in those 5 years, three Pro Bowls, two times as an All-Pro, 2019's AP Offensive Player of the Year, 32 touchdowns, 5,950 yards. That's some pretty good numbers there in just five seasons for this young man. So he's a little bit behind in those totals, but not far. But he's played a lot less football in the NFL than our other wide receivers that we're talking about. So very strong contender there for Mr. Michael Thomas. So we get to Odell Beckham Jr., and we know he's made some fantastic catches in his career. His first five seasons were with the New York Giants. He's played the last couple with the Cleveland Browns. He has 487 receptions in that time, 6,830 yards, 14 yards per reception, 51 touchdowns. So, excuse me, he has some great numbers that are right there with the other wide receivers we're talking about. Three Pro Bowls. He was a 2014 AP Offensive Player of the Year. Well, this might be some tough picking here to find our three players out of that, because, you know, that's five wide receivers with very similar numbers that we're talking about. So let's go off of the wide receiver train for just a second. Let's talk about a quarterback. Jay Schrader, who was a right-handed quarterback, was born June 28th, 1961, had played his first three seasons with the Washington Redskins and then had five great years with the Raiders, a year with the Cardinals and a year with the Bengals. And Jay, as a starter, was 61-38, not too bad, just over 50% of his completions, just barely over 20,000 yards passing, 114 touchdowns, 108 interceptions, wore the number 13 for looks like one season with the LA Raiders, I think we said. I'm not sure that those numbers are good enough to compete with our wide receivers. So I'm going to say Jay Schrader's probably out of the running on this. Now let's talk about Mr. Steve Johnson. You know, Steve Johnson, another wide receiver, Buffalo Bills for most of his career, 6 years with Buffalo, one with San Diego, one with San Francisco, seems to have retired in 2015. And as a receiver, he was 381 receptions, just over 47,000 yards, 34 TDs. Worth mentioning, wore the number 13, but not up to the standards of our earlier wide receivers we were talking about. Now, another quarterback wore that number 13 for 13 seasons, so 13-13. That's Steve Bono. Steve Bono bounced around the league, played with the Minnesota Vikings, the Pittsburgh Steelers, especially during the strike year, he was good for the Steelers. San Francisco 49ers for four seasons, Kansas City Chiefs for three seasons, and then had a cup of coffee with Green Bay, St. Louis, and Carolina. So sort of all over the map, sort of a career backup quarterback for most of his career. And he had a quarterback starting record of 28-14, so a 2-1 ratio there. Threw for 10,439 yards, 62 touchdowns, 42 interceptions. Not quite what we're looking for to make our top 10 list, I don't think, but still a very serviceable backup quarterback in Steve Bono. And let's talk about another wideout, and that's Kendall Wright. And Kendall Wright has played for six seasons, five of them with the Tennessee Titans and one with the Chicago Bears, 339 receptions, 19 touchdowns, good player, solid NFL wide receiver, but not one of our top number 13s to play. Now, Kelvin Benjamin's another wide receiver we want to consider, wore number 13, and he wore that for a handful of seasons, five or six. Played with Carolina, Buffalo, and Kansas City until he retired. 209 receptions, 20 touchdowns. Not quite enough for the gentleman, Kelvin Benjamin, to make it to our list. Our last two people are Nate Burleson, we talked about, too. Let's bring him into the mix here as we're talking. He had a really nice long career. Wore the number 13 for only his last four seasons. That was with the Detroit Lions. Before that, he played with Seattle, wore number 81, and Minnesota wore number 81. And for his career, he had 457 receptions, 39 touchdowns, just over 5,600 yards. Not quite up to what our earlier wide receivers have set the bar at for the number 13. Last two people we're going to talk about are a couple kickers. Chris Jackie. And what can you say about Chris Jackie? Wore the number 13 for his entire 11-year career. Most of that was with Green Bay, 8 seasons there, 2 years with the Cardinals, 1 year with the Washington Redskins. And he retired in the 1999 season. And for his career, he had 202 field goals that were made of 265 attempted, and his extra points was 338 of 343, was a Super Bowl champion and a one-time All-Pro. Great stats for a kicker in the NFL, but probably not going to make it here with our wide receivers leading the way. And our last one we're talking about is Mike Vanderjagt, another great kicker. Had made it to a Pro Bowl. It was All-Pro in 1 year. Had a pretty good career with Indianapolis, 8 seasons there, 1 year with Dallas. And he had 230 field goals made out of 266 attempts, 377 extra points, only missed 2 of those in his career. And, very solid kicker, but again, I don't think he has those numbers that are going to jump up and overtake our wide receivers. So I think this is a 5-horse race for 3 spots. Let's review that. T.Y. Hilton, Mike Evans, Keenan Allen, Michael Thomas, and Odell Beckham Jr. Now, I think statistically, our best 2 number 13s of those 5 are Mike Evans and Michael Thomas, and they're still putting up numbers. So I'm going to say that those 2 get 2 of our spots here of our top 10, and we have 1 more to give out. And we're going to pick between these last 3 receivers. And, it's a tough race here. But I'm thinking that probably I'm going to give that to Keenan Allen, because he has just had a brilliant career, played on the same Chargers team. Phillip Rivers was quarterback for most of the way, and now he's got the new quarterback, Herbert, as a rookie season. So I think Keenan Allen makes that list of the top number 13s. So, in review, Dan Marino's at the top of our list, Then probably Don Maynard comes up next, another great player. Kurt Warner, and then Joe Stidahar, George Trafton, Guy Chamberlain, Wilbur, Pete Henry. Those are Hall of Famers. Those are first 7 spots. And then wide receivers that are currently playing, Mike Evans, Keenan Allen, and Michael Thomas round out our top 10. Those are our top players to wear the number 13 in NFL history. And we really appreciate you joining us here for this special bonus edition of the Football by Numbers series on the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch. And we'll be coming back in a couple days, or maybe even tomorrow, with Joe Ziemba with the best players to ever wear the number 14. Continue that series on. Don't forget, we want to hear your opinion too. If you see something or hear something that we say that maybe we miss somebody, contact us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com, and we will try to correct that on a future podcast to get the record straight. We'll look it all up and do the investigation on it. But this is just my opinion, who that top 10 is of those number 13s, and we'd love to hear yours, whether you agree with me or not. Again, pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Get all those emails into us, and we'll be sure to check them out. And we thank you once again for joining us, and we want to see you tomorrow and give you some more great football history on the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch. So till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Each week, the Official Football Learning Academy podcast will take you deep into the history of pro football through interviews with players, coaches, or administrators in the NFL, as well as interviews with Pro Football Hall of Fame selectors, authors, and historians. You'll learn how the game evolved and important moments that shaped the sport into what it is today. And don't miss the Pro Football History Nugget of the Week. Listen to the Official Football Learning Academy podcast on the Sports History Network.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.